Hold on tight. This is going to be an incredible ride as we walk through all the pieces to build a realistic application, all the way from every possible mobile platform into the deep bowels of Azure and bringing it all together to make a cohesive strategy and a good story for your application. We've got all the pieces. We've got the story. Harry's coming on. Hold on tight. That's this episode of Dev Radio. Hi, and welcome to the next episode of Microsoft Dev Radio. I'm Jerry, and I'm here with Harry Minnan, who might be my most frequent guest on Dev Radio. Harry, thanks for being on the show again.
I know. Thanks again for having me, Jerry. I think this is our third show together, right? In as many years?
Yeah. Let's see. We talked about XAML behaviors in the past. We've talked about WPF in the past. We talked about we talked about open sourcing behavior. We've really talked about a lot of different things.
No, this is my fourth show. You're right. The one I did with Navid for Windows 8. Too late? You're right. Yeah.
We did
the tooling one back in the day.
I don't remember Windows 8.
I don't know. We've been around, so.
Selective memory. Hey, great. Hey, thanks for being back on the show. So everybody knows who you are. It is possible. Nobody knows who you are. And your job kind of shifted a little bit. Tell us who you are today.
So I'm the new product owner for NuGet. I'm super excited about it.
You're the new Jeff Fritz.
I'm the new Jeff Fritz. It's big shoes to fill, but I'm super excited about it. It is a very upstream component. Everybody uses it. So we want to make it the best damn package manager for .NET ever.
Nice. Very nice. And boy, when you say everybody uses it, you mean everybody uses it. I would say it is... There is a 1% chance that there's a developer watching this show that doesn't use NuGet. Or maybe they don't even know they use it sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think the best job a package manager can do is get out of the way.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah, it is so seamless, so fast, you just don't know. You just consume packages like anything else, and it just works.
Yeah. It's a nice deal. I tell you, I write template 10, I put it up on NuGet, and it is a seamless operation, so don't screw it up.
I'll try not to. I have a good engineering team.
Good.
Yeah, they're very conscious.
Nice. But that's not what we're talking about today. We're kind of looking back at build that we had just a handful of weeks ago now, and kind of talking about something that Scott Gu hinted at in his keynote, and you want to kind of tell us a little bit more about it because it's way more awesome than we had an opportunity to see.
Exactly. So what I'm going to talk about is my driving. My driving is an Azure IoT and mobile sample application. So what we did during the start of this year was we got a small team together and we wanted to build a sample that showed the best use of Microsoft Developer Platform services and Azure. Okay. So my driving is, in the simplest form, it's a mobile application that consumes data from your car using an IoT device. The IoT device here is what we call an OBD dongle. Every car after 1998 has a port on the right side of your, left side of your driver's cabin that you can plug into, and that sends all and collects a lot of awesome information like how do you brake, how do you accelerate, what is your check engine light on, things like that, right?
Yeah, sure. So
this,
sure.
Yeah, this data goes through the mobile phone as a field gateway, goes up to Azure where we have a whole bunch of Azure services that essentially take all this information, analyze it, and give it back to the mobile application for visualization. So in Azure, we use everything from the Azure IoT Suite, which essentially enables you to ingest millions of telemetry events from devices every second. We use a bunch of Azure jobs like streaming analytics and Azure SQL Data Warehouse, HD Insight, Service Fabric. All these things really come up together, tie together to build and show great visualizations as well as tell you your driving style. We have machine learning algorithms that actually analyze your driving, compare to the rest of the drivers, and tell you what kind of driver you are.
Okay, so let's talk about hardware for just a second. So I want to install and use this app. I'm going to need an ODB dongle, which standard one, I assume. I don't need a special.
Mm-hmm, no.
Right? Connect by Bluetooth maybe or something like that?
Yeah, for iPhone it's Wi-Fi, Android and Windows is Bluetooth. But the best part is, like, if you really want the full experience, yeah, you should go buy an OBD device. It's pretty cheap from most online retailers, but we actually provide you a simulated device. So if you don't have a device and you just want to try out the Xamarin and the UWP mobile experience and the Azure backend,
cool.
You can just open the app and we just simulate all the data that the OBD device would in theory give to us, right?
Yeah. All right. So walk me through just the ingestion sort of workflow here. So I'm creating data through the dongle or the simulator, goes into the app. The app then is shooting it up into Azure, being collected by, and let's go kind of walk through the different steps.
Why don't we do this? Like, I actually have a great architecture diagram that I can show and walk you through, like, individual steps, what happened later in the talk.
Perfect.
Okay.
Okay, Harry, I can see your screen, and it looks like you're projecting your Windows phone.
No, it's an iPhone. So the app is actually written in Xamarin, and it is also available for Windows Windows 10. And almost 70% of the code is shared between the Android, iOS, and the Windows versions.
Wow. That's pretty awesome. Okay.
Yeah, so I'm going to actually go to my Hockey app instance. Hockey app instance is where we have published these apps. If you actually go to Azure.com My Driving, we have links from there that'll enable you to go and download these apps directly from Hockey app for Android and Windows Phone. But for iPhone, you would actually need to build and deploy it yourselves because of iPhone policies prohibit us from distributing to more than X number of folks.
Oh, I see.
So, but I do have permission, so I'm just going to go and click on My Driving for iOS, and I'm going to hit install. As soon as it's hit install, it actually, Hockey app installs the app over the wire, and you can see that it's actually installing.
Now, wait a minute. Let's just remind everybody who may not know, but Hockey app is a way for developers to take their application, put it through beta testing, deploy to different platforms, manage the whole thing in one place, and Microsoft purchased Hockey app, I think, early last year.
Yeah, last year. Yep.
Okay, I see it's installed.
Yeah, and the best part about Hockey app is not just the beta distribution, it also allows you to collect verbatim as well as like crash and reliability feedback, and all that goes to one single place.
Okay. So I'm going to not to be confused with application insights.
Yes, application insights going forward is going to be a server-based solution, and all client-based solution is going to be driven through Hockey app. So Xamarin Insights, everything is going to fall under the Hockey app umbrella going forward.
Got it.
Okay. So I'm going to go click on the app. Oh, oops. It actually tells me that I can't open the app because I have an untrusted enterprise dev certificate. So I'm going to go to settings. I'm going to go to general, go to profiles and device management, and I'm going to actually trust my certificate. I'm going to trust it, switch back to my screen, and now I can actually open the application.
You didn't seem surprised by that error either.
I've seen that so many times. I know. So essentially, we have this beautiful carousel kind of view that tells users how to get started. It's okay for the full experience. You need an OBD device. If you don't, we actually simulate the data for you like we discussed before. So I'm going to just swipe through the instructions here. And I'm going to hit dismiss. I'm going to log into my test account. So I'm going to hide my screen for a bit. Okay. So as soon as I log in, it asks me whether I can actually give it permissions to track my location. I do allow. First, let's take a look at all the past trips that I've done. So if I go to my past trips menu, you can see all the trips that I've taken using this application. Look how fast and fluid this is. This is completely built using Xamarin. It's completely native. And let's take a look at my lunch trip.
Completely built using Xamarin. Beautiful.
Yeah. So I can actually, like, you can see it's a very consumer-friendly, very customized app. And as I can actually play through, I can actually see my miles I've consumed, the time, the speed that I was in, and the calories I consumed. So it's a pretty amazing native experience that we have enabled where you can play through these things. Now, I can switch to my profile. By the way, that's not me.
It's okay,
my test account. So it tells me the total distance I've traveled, the duration, number of hard accelerations I've done, number of total trips, and you can see my driving score. This data is calculated on a daily basis using Azure Machine Learning by comparing your driving to the rest of the drivers in the ecosystem.
Okay.
And if I really wanted to do a trip, I can just hit start, and you can see that, hey, it tells you don't have an OBD device connected. Do you want to use a simulator? I'm going to hit yes because I'm not in my car. And you can actually walk around, and it's going to collect some information about how you're walking. It simulates all the OBD device data and sends that to the cloud, and you can actually go and save the trip and see the results of your trip. So it's a very seamless experience, completely built using Xamarin. And to just repeat myself, we shared over 70% of the code with the Xamarin, iOS, Android, and Windows 10.
And so talk to me just for a second. Is there a trigger of some kind when I start to drive, or would it be like drive mode would launch this and then I would say start, something like that?
No. If you have the OBD device, you have to explicitly say, I want to record a trip.
Okay. All right, good.
We wanted to do that feature, but you know, we kind of ran out of time. We wanted to do a minimum viable product, and this was it.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So that shows the whole user experience of the application. Now, the first thing that I want to show is our GitHub repo. So if you go to github.com, Azure samples my driving. The best part about the sample, all the code is open source. You have the Xamarin code. So if you go to source, you can see all the Xamarin code here. In mobile apps, we have the Azure App Service, which is a backend for the mobile applications, open source. All the data scripts, HD Insight jobs, machine learning models, Power BI dashboards, all of it is open source. And you don't have to go through a lot of steps to set it up. All you have to do is go to the scripts folder, and we have this detailed README that allows you to deploy this entire service environment to your own subscription with a single click.
Okay, cool. Wow. Now, tell me, Harry, how realistic is this, or how real world is this? If I were, let's say I'm Tesla, and I'm considering an app kind of like this, can I use this? Is this mostly just kind of vaporware that's a bunch of hacks, or do you feel like this is a recommended textbook approach?
So we call it a sample reference app for a reason, right? This shows in many ways a bare bones sets of services and stuff that you need to build a similar platform. But obviously, if you want to make it more secure or more, you know, let's say prevent DDoS attacks, have backups, replication, there is some work you have to do.
Yeah.
But this shows, in a sense, how a core system like this can be built using Azure services.
Gotcha. So if I were that architect and I was considering it, I would certainly look at this and I'd have to answer the question of why it's not like this pretty seriously, right? Because I would at least want to be similar to it, right? Because this is the team building a reference app.
Exactly. So we actually have a reference guide. So if I go to azure.com/mydriving, this is our landing page. If you go all the way down, we actually have a reference guide. There's a 140-page document that details all the technological choices we made, how we went about building the application, the different Azure technologies that we used, and what you need to keep in mind if you really want to take this to complete production. So I would highly recommend, if you're interested in the IoT and mobile scenarios, I would highly recommend that you take a look at this guide because it tells you how to go about building a similar kind of solution.
Yeah, that's really, really cool. There are so many different paths to take inside the Azure world. You know, what about this service? And seems like there's three services that do the same thing. This is a nice way for a developer to be able to tease it out with a application they already understand kind of as the context. Very cool.
Yep. So that is our Azure side. The next one that I want to show you is that we were a small team that we built this app, right? And we did this entire thing in 6 to 8 weeks.
Okay.
So one thing that was super important to us was the fact that we were able to quickly iterate. So we actually use Visual Studio Team Services with continuous integration. So it was really amazing. The moment we made a check-in to our GitHub repo, we would trigger a build. That build would get tested on Xamarin Test Cloud, get verified on hundreds of real-world devices, and it then got released into Hockey App. And the moment, like, for example, if I made a change or one of the developers made a change and I go into my car, by the time I get to my car, I have an update on my phone. So I just installed the update and I tested on the way back to my house, like literally driving the application with my OBD device. So by the time I get home, I've either crashed the app because of some reason or I have some verbatim feedback to send back to the developer or to the team using Hockey App. So nice. That's a really powerful end-to-end, you know, release management and continuous integration that really tightened up our workflow.
Nice. And it was a one of those things that's amazingly simple to set up as well. I mean, I think until a developer does it, it's hard to believe until you see how straightforward it is.
Exactly. And the best part, I mentioned the scripts that do the Azure deployment, right? Mm-hmm. That scripts will also take the entire MyDriving source as an optional step, check that source into your own VSTS Git repository, and set up both Android, iOS, and UWP builds for you.
Okay, Harry, what are we looking at here?
So this is the VSTS dashboard for the MyDriving project. You can see the iOS builds, you can see your Android builds, and you can see your UWP builds. So this is a beautiful dashboard we have set up. These are the results from the Xamarin Test Cloud. And on the right, you can see the widgets that connect it to the applications on Hockey App. Mm-hmm. So let's go take a look at a build definition, right? So I'm going to go to build. I'm going to click on Android. Let's take a look at the stuff that it does. So you can see that, you know, we have a bunch of build tasks like, you know, install NuGet, update assemblies, get the Xamarin license, build the project, and build and publish the artifact. So every time a developer made a check-in into GitHub, we would trigger a build and this whole thing would run. And we had regression and series tests. What would happen is, if I go to Xamarin Test Cloud, you can actually see that we set it up so that, you know, on a specific schedule and nightly builds, we used to actually take all the builds and push them into Xamarin Test Cloud for both iOS and Android, and we used to test it. So I'm going to click the Android application. Let's give it a second, and you can see a bunch of builds that happened.
Oh, yeah.
And here you can see that, hey, you know, 2 out of 12 tests failed. And if I click on a specific test, you can see all the devices that executed on. So this is pretty amazing, right? We actually tell you the exact devices your customers are going to use out in the wild, and your application is getting tested on a regular basis on these devices.
The Test Cloud is truly amazing. I mean, truly, it's amazing. And imagine, I mean, it's a product from Microsoft that's not free, but I dare a developer to try and make it economical to buy every device and test on it every night. It's incredible what it is.
Yeah, the sheer infrastructure you have to set it up to enable it yourself is just painful, right? We are managing all of this for you.
Yeah. This is incredible.
Yeah, so that is what we have here. I'm going to switch a bit. Before we go into the Azure architecture, let's take a look at the architecture diagram on my end.
Okay, sure. Okay, Harry, I can see we switched. I can see the little car. Walk me through it.
So the first thing I'm going to talk about is the OBD device. I mentioned that most cars have it. You can just buy it off the market. And once you plug into the car, what happens is we wanted to keep the cost very low for you to try this out. So instead of actually going and building your own Raspberry Pi port that has cellular or Wi-Fi connectivity, what we're doing is we're using the phone as a field gateway to take all the telemetry that the OBD device is generating and push that into Azure.
Okay.
If you also look at it, the phone here is also another IoT device because the phone is also giving you GPS and, you know, map information that we're using in the computations in the backend. So once this data comes in, it actually goes to the Azure IoT Hub. Azure IoT Hub is a service offered in Azure that enables ingestions of millions and millions of events from IoT devices. All this information gets processed, stored in a SQL database, which is then accessed through the Azure App Service, which is this great mobile app backend platform that Azure has, and that is then consumed by the mobile application again, and all the visualization and stuff the user sees it is a representation of the data that is stored in the backend. And
okay, wait, let me make sure. Okay, so the IoT Hub is to make sure that your application never gets a 500 server busy error, basically, right? It can absorb all the data you can possibly push into it, and then slowly, as fast as possible, it puts all that, and then does it? Where does it store that data as it comes in?
Yeah, I'm going to show that next.
Oh, good. Yeah. Okay, sorry. I'm always getting ahead of you. I'm sorry.
No worries. And another thing that Azure IoT Hub does is that, you know, device security, provisioning, registration of device, all that fun stuff that. So it does a bunch of other things outside of ingestion. Gotcha. So let's say the data comes in. There are a bunch of data flows in the application. I'm going to focus on three main. The first one is as soon as the data comes in, what happens is we have something called Azure Streaming Analytics. These are queries that basically look at the incoming data, take all that data, and send that to Event Hub. Event Hub, you can imagine it as like more of a queue. So as soon as all, so what the Streaming Analytics query here does, it takes a look at all the data coming and takes the VIN numbers of the cars that are being registered and sends it to the Event Hub.
Okay.
Listening to the Event Hub, there is a service bar, say Service Fabric microservice. So microservice is a great new concept, and Service Fabric, the Azure aspect of it, just got GA this year at Build. This enables you to build very small microservices that are highly available, highly scalable, and can easily be rolled back or you know, upgraded without affecting a huge monolithic service kind of thing. So what the Service Fabric does, it takes your VIN number and figures out the make and model of your car.
Okay.
And then it writes all that data back into a SQL storage, SQL database, which is then used as a backend for the Azure App Service. And it reads all that data and sends that to the mobile application. Does that answer your question, Jerry?
100%. Yeah. I should have just been patient. I see it now.
So that is one workflow. Another thing to add is that obviously we used App Insights on the server to track telemetry, server responses, and all that telemetry goodness on the server side. The next workflow is what we call the cold path. In here, what happens, as soon as the data comes in, we blindly write it into a blob storage. So blob storage is a very cheap way of storing large amounts of data that just needs to be processed on some cadence. And we have some HD Insight and Azure Data Factory jobs that spin up on a regular basis, takes a look at this data, and transforms that into transforms that data into something more that we can build Power BI dashboards on, and writes that into Analytics DB. Okay. In the Analytics DB here, is then used by the Power BI presentation layer to look at and show like dashboard kind of views. And I'm going to show you the Power BI dashboard very soon.
Cool.
So that is the second workflow, right? The final workflow is a machine learning workflow. Mm-hmm. So what the machine learning workflow does, it takes all this data in the storage, and every day it uses that data to train its algorithms and then tries to determine what kind of driver you are. So in my demo previously, you saw I was like 75% better than other drivers, right? It just tries to find that correlation and updates that on daily cadence. So as you can see, this sample shows you how to tie a number of different Azure services together to get a really optimized architecture going, as well as servers set up. If you notice, there is very little imperative code. Like generally, the only imperative code we have in the entire Azure backend is the Azure App Service and the Service Fabric microservice. Everything else is just SQL queries, you know, streaming analytic queries or configurations.
Okay, so let's walk through this in a small part. So as it comes in through streaming analytics and then it goes into the message bus, you're actually transforming the data just a little bit there, because you're not handing off the volume of data to your microservice that's coming in through streaming analytics. You're handing it basically a denormalized record that it's processing, that it writes into the SQL database, because that SQL database would balloon if all you did was take all of your records and jam them. That's not what's going on. You're actually processing them through so that they're valuable. What's the round trip time? Like if I'm driving along and I know that my is it happening real time?
Yes. So we did have a feature. We basically, if you're a hard stop, we actually round trip some of the information as soon as we get it. I believe we have, like, I forgot the right numbers like last we did, but we do have some information that round trips. But some of it we have been more, for example, every time we get a data point from the OBD, we write them directly into Azure. There is no caching anything on the client side. We stream data as we get. Just to show the power of IoT Hub, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So I could almost see what's going on my device, probably just a couple of seconds behind.
But a lot of the processing on the mobile side is also done on the mobile side, because we have a lot of the information there, and we wanted to make sure that we showcase that aspect, right? Let's put our best foot forward in terms of building a mobile application and show the best practices there as well.
Okay, good. So it's not a dumb client by any stretch, and if I'm completely disconnected, I still could have a good experience.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. This is, and you know what, when you look at it, you know, if you were trying to, thank goodness we have this diagram to look at, because if we were just talking about it verbally, this would seem like, wow, how many moving parts do we have? But when you see them and you can see the workflow and the process that they go through, of course that's what's next. And then, of course, that's what's next. And then, of course, that's right. And you can kind of see the reason for everything, and it makes plenty of sense. And I feel like a lot of developers and architects the same look at Azure and they see, let's say, HD Insight, and they see HD Insight as the solution, right, instead of the piece of the solution. This is really great to see it in context.
Yep. Thanks, Jerry. So that is an overview of the architecture of My Driving.
Okay.
Let's take a look at the actual Azure production dashboard.
Okay, Harry, I can see your screen. This is the Azure dashboard?
Yes, this is the production dashboard. You can see all the services that we have pinned here. For example, you can see the Azure IoT Hub, the amount of messages we are getting, the number of real and simulated devices that are running. You can see the streaming job that's running on a daily cadence. You can see our logs. You can see the usage of the SQL database. If I move to the right, you can actually see, hey, you know, the replication happening on West and East US. A whole bunch of this good information, you can just look at it by building your own customized dashboard. Unfortunately, the dashboard is not shared. You have to build it yourself.
Okay. So you get to build it yourself, you mean?
You get to build it yourself. It's an exercise left to the user. But as you can see a whole bunch of real-time information from the Azure production My Driving service here.
Sure. And honestly, the way I do things, I might have a different dashboard than you would have built anyway, because I exactly. like to look at different things. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. You can see you saw the messages changing in real time. It was 165.182. It's now 342 as we speak. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, that's somebody's driving around.
Somebody's driving around or using simulated data.
Yeah, that's right. Maybe it's yours. No, because simulating earlier is already in there.
Yeah, it's already in there.
Yeah, this is great. This is unbelievable. This sort of information, it's kind of nirvana in a lot of ways. You know, I think a lot of people would be surprised just how overwhelmingly awesome it is to just kind of look and be able to see, because what's better than the human eye at finding trends and seeing anomalies? It's awesome.
Mm-hmm. So now that you've seen the dashboard, I want to show a couple of more dashboards. I want to show you the Power BI dashboard that we have built. So I'm going to switch back. We talked about a cold path workflow where all the data is processed regularly and then presented to Power BI. So this is a live dashboard. As people are driving, you can actually see live updates here. Right now it's simulated data, but I can actually, for example, build these really complex visualizations, update my maps in real time, zoom in, do a whole bunch of fun stuff as the data comes in to Azure.
And when I'm looking at my own personal driving, or my family or whatever, this would be really, really interesting. But it wouldn't take long for it to also be pretty overwhelming. And that's one of the reasons you have ML involved.
Yes. So we just wanted to tell you how good a driver you are. And we wanted to make it a fun gamify experience in terms of how we determine that, right? But Power BI dashboard, basically, we wanted to build that here to show how easy is it for, let's say, an admin role or an operator role to build complex visualizations on top of all the Azure data and IoT and the mobile data that we are collecting?
Yeah.
So this shows how it's, you can build complex visualizations, tie that to Azure database and SQL storage, and show that for an admin or an operator user. So this is just a live dashboard. I'm going to switch to an hourly dashboard.
Okay. Tell me, Harry, how much of this would I be able to project up onto the device itself? Is it always come to Power BI in the browser, or can I also have it on my device?
It's a good question. This thing, we don't have embedded on the device right now, all those views. You have to go set it up yourself to see it on your own subscription.
Okay.
So here you can actually see the number of drivers, good versus bad. If you go here, we even tell you on a region basis how the breakup of the good and bad drivers are.
Interesting.
So here it's a different breakup, here it's a different breakup, here it's a different breakup. So it's really amazing how we can actually build these really beautiful and intuitive visualizations in Power BI.
Yeah, it's really incredible.
Yeah, and I talked to the microservice. Microservice actually figures out it's a four-door sedan or a luxury SUV or a station wagon.
Oh, very nice. And this is part of the work that the microservice is doing, slicing up the data so that Power BI can read it.
Yeah, microservice, we wanted to like showcase that, you know, it's really easy to build services like that. All it does is a really micro job. All it does is just takes your first six digits of your number and figures out who made your car and what kind of car it is, and writes that data back into the SQL storage for you.
Nice, very cool. Station wagon, really?
Yeah.
You know what? I bet that's a Subaru.
No, actually. But honestly, to be completely transparent,
a driver type bad. Oh no, you're on the over the red.
It's sorry. Actually just Ford. We only had data for Ford.
Oh, okay.
So we just put, because you know, it's just basically simple text files that we're using, and we just had data for Ford that we put it in there.
Got
because
you.
Every car manufacturer does its own weird thing about wins.
Oh, it does. Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that is a Power BI dashboard. Finally, I want to show you quickly our ML workspace.
Oh yeah.
So
here we
this
go.
Is our yeah. So this is our machine learning model. This is a training experiment. That actually takes in all the data and does analysis, you know, actually trains the model. And then we have a predictive experiment that uses, you know, the training data to actually go and predict the results of your driving.
So you can see this is how you can come to that conclusion of good driver, bad driver, basically.
Exactly. And give you a percentage as well.
Ah, nice. And how, now, what's the latency for this? How quickly does my good and bad get updated? Is it
every day?
Every day, okay.
If you run it once a day.
Yeah, you don't want to run it when you've got one drop of data. You want to do it when you start getting massive
yes,
amounts of data.
Exactly. Yeah, so that kind of wraps up all the fun stuff that I wanted to show you around My Driving. I would highly encourage folks to go to azure.com/mydriving, download this reference guide, and take a look at all the awesome stuff that we have done, and go build it yourself.
Cool, Harry. This is a pretty sophisticated solution, and I think a lot of developers might look at this as, you know, especially when the show started, right? And they're like, oh, this is going to be a Xamarin talk about reusing all my code. This is going to be great. But this is really about, you know, a lot of our demos are so simple. You know, they're sort of this hello world, and let me just show you how storage works on Azure. It's a cool thing to be able to say, you know, there's a gigantic bag of Legos, and it turns out that if you know what you're doing, you can really pull it together and make something incredible, not just two blocks stacked on top of each other. I feel like My Driving is one of those showcases, and the fact that we have this reference implementation, we have the reference document for them to go, you can take, and it's all open source, just go get it if you want it. Good job, Harry.
Thank you. It was a team effort. It was really good. It was a fun 2 months for us, for the entire team to work on it. Yeah.
It's cool stuff. I can't wait to hear feedback from developers who are checking it out too.
Yeah.
Thanks for being on the show again.
Thank you. Thanks, Jerry. Thanks for having me.
We'll see you again.